Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And if the goal of whoever placed two giant white flags atop the Brooklyn Bridge early yesterday morning was to get attention, they succeeded. Social media was rampant with speculation, hundreds of tweets a minute, parody accounts taking false credit. But if the goal of the perpetrator was to make a political statement or even terrorize the city, they can at least claim to have gotten the attention of one man, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who yesterday afternoon offered a $5,000 reward for information about the flags and used just that word to describe who did this, terrorist. Eric Adams is here to talk about the white flag flap. We'll also touch on a few other issues. President Adams, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Always great being on your show.
And I'm sure you saw the papers today. The Post takes a sort of tongue-in-cheek approach with a big banner ad that reads, "Hipsters surrender." But in the Daily News, there's a headline that reads, "This time it was a flag, next time it could be a bomb." I guess your take is a little closer to that.
It's so true. This is not a joke, and whoever believes it's a joke, the city isn't laughing, and those who utilize the bridge to get to and from their place of employment is not a laughing matter. And I think that we need to be serious. There's room for a protest. There's room for, you know, having your political statements. But public safety is not one of the areas or the places that it should be displayed.
So you're sticking by your use of the word terrorist?
Yes. I think that when I think of terror, and person who terrorized a city or a place, it's to try to instill fear. There's more than one way to do it. If you see some of the actions that people have done over the years of instilling fear into the community or into a city or an area, I put this in that same area and location, and the person should be treated at the fullest extent of the law for one, desecrating the flag, criminal mischief. There's a host of criminal actions that's attached to what this person did.
So, listeners, maybe you are the person who put the white flags up and you want to call and take credit publicly right here, or maybe you know something about it, or maybe you just want to ask a question about this or anything of Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Maybe you'll even get the $5,000 reward that he's offering if you wind up turning the person in. You mentioned motive. Do you even have any clue at this point what the motive was? I mean, white flags tend to mean surrender. That's the classic representation. But this could be some sort of performance art or related to some marketing campaign for Weird Al's new album, or who knows. You know, the U.S., it could mean the U.S. is surrendering to Putin, as some politicians are saying right now. It could mean the U.S. should surrender its imperial ways, as a whole other political class would say. Do you have any clues?
No, and there's nothing officially that has been handed down by the police department, who I believe will get to the bottom of what happened. So we're unclear what message this person was trying to send. But when you realize that the volume of people that use the bridge every day and how that can actually disturb the flow of traffic, how it actually can disturb the commute. There's more than one way to get a message out of feel that the government or the city has surrendered to something, but you don't do it on one of our landmarks and a place that has already been identified as a potential target for a violent terrorist act. And so that is not the place to do it.
Bob in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. You know, I mean, there's a long tradition of pranks, you know, in universities. They're famous for them. But, I mean, would you call, you know, Philippe Petit walk across between the World Trade Towers or the fellow who climbed them? Was that, would you call them terrorists, what they did? You don't even know the motives of these people yet, and you're assigning blame.
Philippe Petit did get arrested,
yeah.
But Eric Adams?
Well, I think he said assigning blame. At a minimum, a person criminally trespassed. That location is off limits. You're not supposed to be on top of the bridge. Maybe the caller is not familiar with the penal law rules. You don't damage property at that extent. That is not a small flag. That's a large flag. So at a minimum, the person who did this act criminally trespassed, which is a crime, and they conducted criminal mischief, damaging property, which is a crime. So I'm applying blame based on our criminal procedures and standards.
Craig in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good morning, guys. First, I just want to say that nobody is saying how the cops failed. And I say that to say we have all these cameras pointed at all these landmarks that, like Mr. Adams said, is terrorist designated hot zones. And how come when the lights went out, a team wasn't dispatched? Say, something's going on the bridge. If it had been a terrorist act, somebody could have been on the bridge the next morning and it could have been detonated and people would have been on their way across the bridge. Nobody's saying, it's the housing projects. Everywhere we have cameras, we don't have people watching. Everything is reactionary after the fact. Yeah. And another thing, Mr. Adam, before y'all cut me off, maybe these type of places need to be written in the law that it's felony to be in these type of places where it's highly sensitive areas so that, you know, this is not a good game. You know, when the guy jumped off the new trade center, you know, people got to know that these are not areas where tolerance for pranks and play, you know, because of the sensitive nature of these. But it was a security failure. That's my belief.
Thank you, Craig. Eric Adams, react to Craig.
I think that he's totally correct, and I'm actually going to reach out to our state lawmakers because he's right. There's certain areas where you criminally trespass. It's a misdemeanor, and it could be something as simple as walking on an area that's off-limit. But when you start going to areas like these landmarks are identified as potential targets to bomb, the charge and bump up the penalty. When you have pranksters that want to go to the top of the trade centers, our new trade centers, and jump off, it's just not a simple action. And we need to understand the new reality we're living in and our new norm. Our new norm is because we didn't have an attack since September 11th, doesn't mean a potential sleeper cell.
But what about Craig raises failure of the NYPD, failure of other security. I mean, just last month, if I remember correctly, a man held up traffic after he climbed to the top of the Brooklyn Bridge. And where were the security cameras? I thought we're under surveillance everywhere. And there where somebody has gone recently and wasn't supposed to, and now somebody went up there again and nobody caught them, nobody saw them?
Well, and I think that's something that the police department is looking at. Last night when I passed by the bridge about 4 in the morning, I saw a few detectives out there conducting their thoroughness of the investigation. The 84 precinct has done an excellent job. Hundreds of thousands of commuters use that bridge. And you see, we have not had any major incidents when you look at the numbers. And I think they're going to continue to do a good job and find out exactly what happened here.
Caitlin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi. This is a question for Mr. Adams. I'm wondering if, given that the piece is possibly an art piece or maybe a peace protest, and he's on the radio talking about terrorism being about instilling fear, I'm wondering if him being on the radio, you know, instilling...
Go ahead, Caitlin.
Hi.
Caitlin, did you just get interrupted?
Yeah, sorry, Caitlin.
I think Caitlin had a radio feedback, 7-second delay thing, but... Maybe you're the one instilling fear when nobody. And I'll tell you, you know, honestly, that all our social media, our Twitter, our Facebook, our website, the overwhelming thing that's being posted is, come on, this is a harmless prank.
Yeah, well, I think that what the people, the norm for many New Yorkers is different from the norm for me. I inhaled the dust of 9/11. I know what people do and how copycats look at breaches in security and exploit those breaches in security. So I know a lot of New Yorkers, probably some of them weren't even born or were children during September 11 because it's so long ago. But I know the reality of what we are facing globally and here in America. And so I expect people to be dismissive of when someone can breach a security point and walk to the top of the bridge and be able to paint a flag. But I do know the threat that this country is still facing, and I'm going to be one of those that are going to say, I'm not part of the sleeper community that say everything is safe and sound and every prank is a prank. No. We must be constantly vigilant of the realities that we're living in now, and people who can see the possibility of going to the top of the bridge can also see the possibility of doing something dangerous on that bridge.
And you're not worried about a sort of boy who cried wolf backlash here, that if we react this way to every flag that gets replaced or banner that gets draped, that we numb people to the real security threats that could cause the big problems?
No, I'm not. Because if you see something, you should say something. We should be constantly vigilant. We should be dismissive of no action and say that, well, it's just a walk in the park or something that's insignificant. That is not what we need. Every incident we look at, we should look at the potentiality that there's something dangerous. There were people who were dismissive of seeing people carry box cutters on planes just to find out those box cutters were being used to take down a plane.
Eric Adams, Brooklyn Borough President, has been with us. You've been hearing his very strong reaction to the planting of white flags on top of the Brooklyn Bridge yesterday. Before you go, I want to get your reaction on one other thing that's going on in the city, and that is the killing by the police and the funeral today of Eric Garner on Staten Island. For people who don't know your background, you were an officer in the NYPD for 22 years, founder of the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care. Yesterday, Commissioner Bratton ordered a top-down review of training procedures for so-called takedown situations to make sure officers are not using the chokehold, which was already banned. In your opinion, did police act inappropriately here? And does this announcement of new training mean the training has been incorrect or inadequate up to this point?
No, I think that, and I commend the commissioner on his quick response to do an analysis that are we using the right takedown methods? And that is the method to use when you have to take someone to the ground so you can handcuff them. And so I believe that it's necessary to reexamine some of those methods and see how do we utilize things like tasers, which I am a strong believer. It's a non-lethal way of taking someone down. And how do we utilize other methods and best practices that we can use to subdue someone when they are not completely submissive? And when I do an analysis and view what took place in this case here, I was surprised at the level of force that was used. I believe there were enough officers there to take a moment. It's always good to weigh things out before moving in and actually having to use a high level of force. And so I think that the police commission is moving in the right direction, and we need to reexamine some of the methods that we are using.
We did have a caller yesterday, former cop, who said that wasn't a chokehold, it was a headlock, and that nobody's presented evidence that his airways were actually constricted or damaged by the hold that was placed on him. What do you say to that?
I think the former officer is correct. We have to be clear to find out what actually took the life of a young man. You saw that there were many people who were on top of him, and I believe in the tape I heard him indicate that he couldn't breathe. So we do not know exactly, and not until a medical examiner report is determined to say exactly what took his life. What I believe the police commissioner and the trainers are going to indicate is that any method of suppressing or putting your hand around one's neck that could actually compress someone's windpipe or any prevent breathing is something they are going to move away from.
Right.
The historical method of a chokehold is when officers in yesteryears used to use their nightstick to put around someone's windpipe, and that was the chokehold, the traditional method. That needs to be defined, and the police department needs to be very clear on what they need their officers to do.
By the way, there's $5,000 reward for whoever put the white flags on the bridge. Where's that coming from? Is that tax dollars?
It was a private donor who called me yesterday and stated that he was extremely outraged. He didn't want his name to be released. He was outraged until we announced that a reward could be offered, and he's given his own private funds to put it up. Many Brooklynites were completely outraged to wake up and find out something that, you know, I hold dear to as a person who has lost a family member in fighting the wars and who have family members that are currently in the armed service. The flag means something to me, and to desecrate it, I see it as a place of protest is no different than burning the flag or doing something else to it. The American flag means something. No matter, this is not a perfect country, but it is my country.
And his borough, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, have you put old clothing in one of those fake charity clothing drops? And how can you tell the real ones from the fake ones? Stay with us.